Okay, and our study tonight is number 175. And we got this one tonight and maybe one more where we left off in Titus. And we'll go back to the third chapter of Titus after we get done with this. But I wanted to, when you look at Titus 2, chapter 2, it talks about, you know, the salvation has appeared unto all. And certainly, back yonder years ago when Brother Larry came to Wolfstake, we had a series of studies that the rest of the church called Chimney Corner Meetings. And, Larry figured out there was about 10 or 12 or 13 people that really wanted to look at Scripture, and kind of beyond what the Baptists believe. And so we done a pretty good little series. Some of them was in different houses, but some of them was in my mother-in-law's house, and I wasn't sure she really agreed with some of the things that was said there, but nevertheless, she never did say much about it. And so it was, and then he did a sermon on it in it was State Church about the trees and the men. One was under a tree, one was up a tree, and one was on a tree. And he kind of condensed it in a way that I could never do that. So I just had to kind of go back and look at some of the stuff that we covered before and then some that I'd seen since all those years ago. Because that was back in 71, I guess.
Thereabouts.
Yeah. And so it was, it was kind of a thing of love here that got me going back looking at that too. So, and thinking back to, younger days and sleepless nights where we sit up to 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I never could outlast Carolyn O'Kelly, so. Anyway,
I don't think anybody.
I know. Carolyn was kind of a night person anyway, so. Here we go. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to pick up with the third edition of the crucifixion of Christ. We did Matthew last week, and we didn't do Mark, because Mark was more of a one that wanted to look at it as someone being indicted for something, and more to speak, and so we didn't. We didn't do Mark, but we're in Luke now, and we're going to do John hopefully next week. So Luke 22, and we're going to start with 51, verse 51, and we're going to do a lot of reading and a little talking. And it says this, and Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far," and he touched his ear and healed him. And this was where they were in the garden, and Judas had betrayed Christ with a kiss. And somebody smote one of the would-be people that were taking Christ on the ear, and he was a servant of the high priest, and he cut his right ear off. And And Christ touched his ear and healed him before them all. Right there. And this is the verse I just read you. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this far? And he touched his ear and healed him. Didn't have to do that. But, you know, the question was, and they were at the high priest's house here in, and it said in 52, and Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be you come out as against a thief with swords and staves? And Christ said, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, and this is your hour and the power of darkness. In 54, verse 54 says, and they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. They were outside the high priest's house, evidently, at that point. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, oh, this man was also with him. And he, Peter, denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And so there was a rooster there, and he had been told by Christ, he said, you will deny me 3 times before the cock crows. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord and how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3 times. And Peter went out. He went outside. He was in the high chief priest's house. He went outside and wept bitterly. And the men that helped Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy. Who is it that smote thee? Who just hit you? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and their scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also speak unto you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto him, you say that I am. And they said, what need we have further witness? For we ourselves had heard of his own mouth. Then we get to chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Now, this is Luke's rendition of what's going on. And they were of the more fear, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. So, they were in Jerusalem. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. Full stop. For he was desirous to see him of a long season or a long time, because he had heard, let me turn the page, many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. And I think this is the robe that they parted, because it was a very lavish robe, and it could make robes for four normal people without seam. And that was something that you didn't see much at that time. Okay. And sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before they were at enmity between themselves. Here's that word again, enmity. I will put enmity between thy seeds. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have, having examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. He was going to whip him. Send him away. It says in italics here, for the necessity must release one unto them at the feast. So this was a feast time. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, release unto us Barabbas. Here's another thing. It said, Who for certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. So Barabbas was in prison awaiting a sentence of death because of murder. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them. And they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. That was the second time he had told them that. And they were instant with loud voice, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voice of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them, him for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led away him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of the women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, and said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which thou shalt say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say unto the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Let's look at that for just a minute. The green tree is called in the notes living wood. Living wood, dry wood is the next thing there that we need to look at. And what shall be done in the dry? Well, the dry wood is a notification of the children of Israel. They were dry wood. They didn't realize what was going on at that point. But there was a difference there between the live tree and the dry wood. Okay, and it says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And this is what we read in Appendix 169, the other one of our studies, a couple of studies ago. And it talked about the malefactors against the other two that come that were murderers. And the malefactors here were the ones that were...
Maybe the other two were thieves, weren't they?
Or maybe thieves.
Thieves, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they were close enough to Christ to talk to him. And so we've got that communication here in Luke, but we don't have nothing on the thieves that were brought later in Luke's rendition of this. And it said, the malefactors, and when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots for the cloth that was going to make them coats. And so they took his clothing. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. and a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. You remember in Matthew's, it was Hebrew first, and then I think Latin and Greek. So it was different, because this is what Pilate had written. And Pilate didn't go to the crucifixion, evidently. When he was finished with him, you know, when he was done with him, he didn't go out to where to Calvary, where the cross was. He didn't go, but they carried his inscription with him, and they took it down again, because evidently in John's writing, it's a different situation. And so they kept changing these things around somewhat. And they parted his raiments and cast lot, and the people stood beholding. They derided him, and he said, "He saved others. If he be Christ, the chosen of God," the soldiers mocked him. And "Save thyself." But Pilate's answer to them went up on the cross over his head. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." Because he didn't want to die. And he knew he was in the same situation. But the other malefactor answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And here's a verse of scripture that gets misquoted a lot because of the comma and punctuation in this. And at that time, they didn't have punctuation, I don't think. But it said, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." He couldn't say it tomorrow because he was fixing to die himself. And he couldn't say it the next day because it was 3 days and three nights, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Who could not understand that? So he had to say to him what he had to say now, today. He couldn't wait. And it was about the sixth hour, which is noon. And there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. So from the noontime sun failed. It went dark. All over the earth until the ninth hour. So 3 hours, the earth was plunged into darkness because the Son of God had given his life and his blood. He'd give his breath and his blood. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit."
I think you skipped 45.
Did I skip one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent or torn in the midst." Because in the temple there was a place, you know, that only the children of Israel could go. And there was a veil there, and They couldn't go beyond the veil. And during that time that Jesus, as he was dying, the power of God ripped that veil in two, took the veil away for mankind. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. He died. Now, the Son of God had given his life. When the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." The man over 100 of those that were over the children of Israel in that day and that time, he made such a statement as that. You know, it looked like in all of the things that happened there, it looked like someone would have picked up on it even greater than that. But see, they were so given to doing this until it was going to happen because it had been prophesied over and over again that it would, and it did. "Certainly this was a righteous man." And all the people came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done. They smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. A counselor. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. And he was a good man and just. And he said the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. He was looking for the kingdom of God himself. This man went to Pilate. This Joseph went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. It was his own grave that he used to do that deed for Christ. And the day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on or drew near. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after. And behold the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So they waited a day of the Sabbath there to do that. Chapter 24. You see, Luke leaves out some things, but he brings out some things that some of the others didn't. And he said, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Christ, Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, they had a lot of questions. They didn't know what was going on, even though they had been told. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And if you look at shining down there, in the notes, it says flashing as lightning. Now, how would you like to come up on something like that where two men were standing there and it was, they had the power. It looked like they were energized fully.
Definitely gets your attention.
With this power of God. Gee. And as they were afraid, and I think who would not have been afraid? If someone come up to me and he was, looked like lightning was oozing out from him, I think I'd have to turn and run myself. There was something else. Herod didn't stay long enough. He could have seen something there. And they said unto them, why seeketh ye the living among the dead? Oh boy, is that a great statement.
Yep.
The living ones among the dead. He said, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. It seemed like all of them had to be jogged into remembering what Christ said. Like, they didn't fully understand the first time. It seems kind of funny to me that if these things were that important to them, they would not have forgotten them. But I guess people are people. And always have been.
Yep, always will be.
And that's just... And they finally had to be jogged into remembering what he had told them. But when they did, oh, okay, now I understand. It was kind of like, boy, we got some thick-headed people there, haven't we? They remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And we're going to get down through 10. And it said it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women were with them, which told these things to the apostles. Mary, the mother of James. Why didn't they say the mother of Jesus? Well, we can find that out in the book of John. Because before Jesus gave up the ghost, I'll just go ahead and tell you now. Because we're going to read it next week. That he called her woman. I don't know that he ever called her mother. And I can't answer that question for you because I don't know the answer to it. But woman was was like we would say madam or lady in today's vernacular. But he certainly called his mother woman. And he told James to take care of her. That was the last thing he asked to be done, that somebody would take his mother in and take care of her for the rest of her life. That was what was on his mind when he gave up the ghost. And that's when he drank the bitter wine, the gall. And that was the fifth time that it had been offered to him. And he finally drank it. So there's quite a bit of stuff in John yet that we haven't seen here to kind of get all the pieces of the puzzle that we need to put this story together. They believed it not. Then arose Peter, and he ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. You see, even Peter had been with Christ all this time, and when Christ asked him, Peter, who saith I am? And he said, you're the Son of God. You're the Son of the living God. And he says, well said. But see, when all this started coming together, it was like, well, I see it, but I don't see it. And to realize what he had truly done for them and for us and for all of the world, sometimes it's still something that man just stumbles all around over. And he never comes to the realization how important it is. Because Christ said, I am the way. I am the light. I am the door. If you're going to come to the Father, you got to come through me.
Yep.
And it also said,
there are not many paths to God.
Yeah.
There's just one.
And so he says, it has to come through me.
There may be a lot of paths to God, but eventually all those paths go to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, go to one.
Yeah. He even called himself the door.
Yeah.
I guess in John 10.
Yeah. Okay. So he gave his blood and he gave his breath, but he got his life back. He got his life back. And he said, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And he said, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 30 furlongs. And they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communing together and reasoning, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And he said, you're walking and you're sad. and you're talking with each other, but why is all this? And the one of them whose name was Cleophas, and Cleophas is an abbreviation of Cleopatros. And it says it's not the same Cleopas of John 19:25. So we haven't got to John yet, but remember, it's not the same one there. And answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days?
Have you heard the news?
Well, these people are keeping up with it pretty good. Why aren't the ones that were close to Christ keeping up with it? Seem like these difference in groups here that, and Jesus answered and said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and then crucified him. Boy, when Paul had a change of heart on the Damascus Road, he never forgot that. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, and said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he, Christ, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto him in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Even to these men that knew of Christ, they had not got the whole story either. And so when we, by our testimony, goes out and meet people, and we're to proclaim Christ to them, they may have not have ever heard of Christ, or may have heard him and never given it much consideration as to what to do about it, if anything. So this is what Paul and those in his company, after he started preaching and teaching, was doing. And so Luke had joined them in Acts and included himself in the rest of Acts from about the middle of Acts on to the end of Acts, and he was with Paul. And Paul probably needed a doctor with him, because Paul went through a lot of things and had a lot of trouble. He expounded to them the scriptures of the things concerning himself, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Oh man, what do you think they thought during that time they had with him that afternoon? Gee.
Pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
Experience they had.
One said to the other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way? And while he opened unto us the scripture? I'll bet it did. Who could have had a better testimony than the Lord himself? Amen. And through all the things it was done. And so we'll leave this there at that point with them, because Christ went on and he showed himself to others and spake unto them words that should have been the most glorious thing they'd ever heard, because now salvation truly had come unto them. But it is very hopeful that in the end they changed from that to what was offered after Acts 28:28. But we don't know. We'll pick up with John's part of it next week and finish it out. But you see, there's a lot said here that, and it was understood that these people had heard Christ speak and had heard some of these things read to them, probably in the synagogues, concerning Christ and concerning the prophets and what they had said and written before they themselves bit the dust, so to speak. But nevertheless, it seems like there was a little hard of hearing going on everywhere. But I think back to years ago when I got a hold of a book that my sister-in-law had. And it was written by a doctor in Augusta, Georgia, where he was healing women with their problems. And he went back in the scriptures and he tried to cover just about all things that he could make sense out of and could explain in a book that he was writing. And his name was Dr. Greenblatt. And he, like my boss man just before that time, said that he was Jewish. And the man that I worked for in Atlanta, Georgia, said he was Jewish too, and his name was Stein. And you don't get no more much Jewish than the name Stein. But I met those two men in different situations in different places. And Dr. Greenblatt had written the book. And he tried to list all of the things in the scriptures that Christ dealt with people during his 3 years of his ministry. And even to his death, But he didn't say anything about his death much. Then I had a young man come into my household by the name of Ronnie McCreary, which is my oldest son, and Ronnie has been teaching and preaching for a long time, somewhat. Teaching more than preaching, but sometimes it gets to be that way with us. And he says, everything that God does has to balance out. Well, I don't have access to Dr. Greenblatt's book anymore to go back over it because I read it before I was a believer. And the one thing that I did remember was Esau and Jacob. And Greenblatt said that Esau gave his birthright to Joseph for a bowl of pottage. And that was red soup. And that Esau was a diabetic. And Esau knew that he was going to die if he didn't get something in him that would bring his blood back around to a normal situation for that time, which made sense. But now we have men living on the earth, and I'll tell you a little bit about my second son. He is a believer, but he don't really get involved much. But he has O positive blood. And that O positive blood can match any blood that man has in his veins. So if God by his blood, if Christ by his blood is going to redeem man, then it doesn't matter whose blood's in his veins, where it's Abraham's blood or whatever blood it is, from wherever it comes from. It doesn't make any difference because that blood can match whatever the man had in his veins. And he can, and if the man will believe, he can make it even up. And think about that. Did Christ have O positive blood?
Definitely universal.
When it was put on, when it was the universal of the world, when it was put on the mercy seat and sprinkled in the Holy of Holies, in the throne room of God's temple, that it could take the place and satisfy the sins, regardless of whoever it was. Even after Acts 28:28, when Israel was set aside, they could believe and be covered under this same blood.
Amen.
And I got to thinking about it. I said, gee whiz, why didn't Greenblatt see that? Because I don't think it was in there. I think if that had been in there, I think I would have remembered it.
Yeah.
But he gave his blood that we might be relieved of our sins. And that we, by believing on him, could have life eternal, whether it be here on the earth or whether it be in heavenly places with the Lord himself as part of his body. Because it's not needed anymore, but it was needed to the point to where he should have, or he or she should have become acquainted with our Lord Jesus Christ at that point. It was important. It was the most important thing that God could do. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to, he would not have had to take the glory from his son that he had. He would not have had to put it back. It would have been back already. But you see, the price was paid that way. That's what God required. Amen. And so that was what was needed. It was like when they looked for somebody to open the pages of the books when they started the judging. Only Christ had that ability to do that. Nobody else there would have done it. So that makes me think that blood got changed in some way, somewhere down the line. That now people can share their blood with other people that they didn't know about then, and that can give them life again in a way that they need it while they're still here on the earth. Because if you get to a point where you without blood or without the platelets, you're not going to be here very long.
Gave blood last night.
So, think on this, because this is the important aspect of what God did for us through His Son. That He had the blood that was possible to do all these things.
Even the blood we have has enough life in it to last for 60 days.
Yeah.
In a bag.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, out of a body. You know, out of a body.
If it's
taken care of the right way.
It can still give life.
Still give life. And that's what Troy can do. Troy's blood, he can give it. He could give anybody blood if they needed it. I don't know why. But I do know how. God bless you, folks. Thank you for being with us. We'll end this thing up hopefully next week. And we'll get back into the rest of Titus, because that's what salvation is. Salvation is what God had given that we can't do.